Last week, we have learned that Jesus commissioned his disciples to go to preach the gospel to the world. And that was despite the fact that they failed to believe in all the testimonies of those who saw the risen Jesus. Even though Jesus himself told them 3 times that he would die and rose again. So to believe is a choice. The disciples chose from that point onwards to believe in Jesus' commission. It was these 11 who made the world impact, preaching the gospel, making disciples who will continue even to this day and beyond. We know we are to preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The gospel means good news. It is the only solution to the number one problem that every single person in the world faces. The sin problem. Sin leading to eternal death. Forever burning in hell, the lake of fire. Just last week, Hong Kong had the deadliest fire. 731-stories residential towers were engulfed in flames. And the fire took over 40 hours to be fully extinguished. More than 159 died, 79 injured, 31 missing, thousands lost their homes. It was one of the most horrific fire incidents. Yet it cannot be compared with the eternal punishment in hell. The gospel is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. But how would they believe unless they hear the gospel? And how would they hear the gospel unless someone preaches to them? Unfortunately, though we know we are to preach the gospel, many of us are not preaching it on a regular basis. Like, at least once a week. Once a week. Or maybe once a month. Or perhaps once a year. Or when was the last time you preached the gospel? This week? Last week? Last month? Or this year? Why are many of us not preaching the gospel on a regular basis? And we all know, because preaching the gospel is not without challenges. Jesus himself faced many challenges, and he faced rejection from his own hometown. So let's read the passage in Mark 6, verse 1 to 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went round teaching from village to village. How would you have responded if you were in Jesus' shoes? Imagine sharing the gospel to your family, to your parents, to your schoolmates, to your colleagues, to your friends, and then you get negative response from them. They reject what you said. They get angry with you. How would that make you feel? Would you simply disregard it and keep preaching? Or would you be so affected and you begin to doubt yourself and you hesitate to preach to the next person. Or you have no idea what to do next. Just immobilized and stop preaching. The Lord Jesus didn't feel good about their responses. But he did not let their responses define him, nor his purpose. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And what did he do? It says, then he went around preaching, teaching from village to village. He went around. I'm so glad that he didn't say he was amazed at their lack of faith and he got so discouraged, disappointed, fed up, and decided not to preach anymore. I'm so glad he didn't say that. And you know, we shall explore the five challenges and fears that we face in preaching the gospel, and we learn how Jesus, our servant king, handled these issues so that we too may preach the gospel as he intended. Let's commit today to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, you demonstrated to us as a servant the importance of your gospel. It is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And Lord, you face all kinds of challenges, but you continue on preaching even though the people were not worthy. And you do so because you loved. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray today as we review the challenges that we face, the fears that we have. Lord, we pray that we will be able to learn from you how we are able to handle, how we are able to overcome these challenges and fears that, Lord, we may do as, Lord, you have intended us to do, to preach your glorious gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first challenge we have in preaching the gospel is the fear of rejection. Nobody wants to face rejection because it's a terrible thing. It is like social media. You post a picture on your Instagram and then you didn't get many likes. You don't get enough thumbs up. Rejection makes us feel unaccepted. What we say or do doesn't matter. It has no value to others. There's nothing worthy in what we say. And nobody likes this kind of feeling. As we look at Jesus' example, Jesus also faced rejection from those to whom he preached. He was rejected by those in his hometown. In fact, he was rejected twice in the same hometown. Here in Mark 6, this is the second time, and the first time was recorded in Luke chapter 4. Jesus was rejected both the first time and the second time. But not only in his own hometown, he was also rejected many times by the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the priests. And the rejection in both cases were very fierce and severe, such they even attempted to kill him. So how do we handle the rejection? The fear of rejection is sometimes more scary than the fear of persecution. It is in the emotion. Many of us then adopt this mindset. Don't preach to people who would reject the gospel. Don't preach to them. But this is a wrong mindset. Jesus gave the parable of the sower, where the sower scatters seed to four different types of ground. The sower is God, the seed is God's word, and the four different types of ground are the four types of hearers. We covered this in one of the sermons for Mark chapter 4. You see, the sower didn't scatter seed only on the good ground. Not just on the good ground that produced a harvest, but the sower scattered seed even on the pathway which the seed didn't grow. The birds came and ate them up. So God is giving the gospel to those who did not want to receive it at all. Why so? Because God desires none to perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes, whoever, God gives everyone a fighting chance to be saved from sin and hell. So what shall we do about the fear of rejection? The application is that we are to preach the gospel even to those who reject it. We need to change our wrong mindset that says don't preach to people who reject the gospel. We need to correct our mindset that even those who reject, they need to hear the gospel. So the next time, if you want to preach the gospel and the fear of rejection comes in, remember, we are to preach the gospel even to them who reject us. But of course, if the person already say, "Don't talk to me about your religion," then we shouldn't. We are not obligated to talk to him since he has outright rejected it. And when I say we are to preach the gospel even to those who reject, I mean those who did not say, "Stop talking to me." We need to respect what people want. But if they didn't say, "Stop talking to them," we should keep preaching to them. And let's go on to the second challenge, the fear of offending others. I'm sure most of us, or none of us, want to intentionally offend people. Intentionally offending people is a wrong thing to do. And let's look at Jesus' example. He also offended people. The people in his hometown were offended by him. Mark 6:3 says, they took offense at him. Was Jesus wrong to offend them? Jesus also caused offense to his own mother and brothers. Mark 3:31 says, when his family heard about this, they heard what? They heard that Jesus had a large crowd of people in the house. Then what happened? It says they went to take charge of him. Jesus' mother, brothers, went to take charge of Jesus. For they said, he is out of his mind. Can you imagine Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers saying, he is out of his mind? And guess what happened when they came to where Jesus was in the house? And someone told Jesus, "Jesus, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." Did Jesus say, "Oh no, Jalalia, mother is here. Better go and pacify her a bit"? No. Jesus looked at the people sitting around him and he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, my sisters, and mother." Can you see Jesus offending his own mother and brothers? Was Jesus wrong to say so? Of course, Jesus wasn't wrong. He is the Lord. He knows all things. Not only he knows the truth, Jesus is the truth. So we have this wrong mindset that it is wrong to offend people. If preaching the gospel causes offense to people, then preaching the gospel is wrong. Maybe we never say it. But we do think in our mind sometimes, preaching the gospel is wrong because it offends people. This is a wrong mindset that we have and we must change. Why would some people be offended when we preach the gospel? Because some may think that we are so arrogant, so intolerant to say that Jesus is the only way and truth to the exclusion of all other religions. But if it is the truth, isn't the gospel truly the good news? That there is a way out of hell. Jesus is the way. Because all other religions are unsure of the way. People who leave their homes and loved ones to become monks and nuns, they pray and they meditate up to even 20 hours a day. And you ask them, are you there yet? Have you finished paying your sin debt? In Chinese, it is this term called 消业障. That means to clear your sin debt. Have you finished paying your debt? And they will say no. Otherwise, they would have stopped being in the temples. And you ask them, then how many more years will you get there? They will also say, I don't know. Then you ask them, then on the day of judgment, will you be there? Have you paid all your sin debt? They will also say, I don't know. You know, they are very sincere in their faith. Perhaps even more sincere than most of us. But they are also sincerely don't know. In fact, they are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. In contrast, the gospel is the way of salvation. Salvation by grace through faith, so no one can boast. Is this really arrogant? Is it really arrogant to say God loves you and gave Jesus to die on a cross for you? Is that arrogant? Certainly not. And you know what? Behind all this is actually Satan at work doing the accusation. Luke 8:12 says, the devil comes and take away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. The devil comes to take away the word from their hearts. The devil has blinded the mind of unbelievers. They cannot see the light of the gospel. They cannot believe. They cannot be saved. Satan is at work. If we think that it is wrong to preach the gospel because we may offend people, this is a deception from Satan. Don't believe it. He accuses us that if we offend people, we are wrong, especially if we are preaching the gospel. We need to correct our mindset. Satan is accusing us of our intention, saying that you Christians got bad intention when you preach the gospel. But here is the correct mindset. What is our intention when we preach the gospel? Was our intention to offend people? Of course not. We offend people, we get rejected. Nobody wants to feel rejection. What was the intention of us preaching the gospel? Is that when we preach out of our good intention, so that the non-believers will not suffer eternally. This is God's heart. Flows out of love, not hatred. Amen? But preaching can offend people. And let us consider this. Which is better? Number one, preach and possibly offend people, but some get saved. Or number two, not preach, cause no offense, but people suffer eternal fire. Which is better? I offend people, but people get saved. Or I don't preach, people not offended, but they go to hell. Which one is better? Of course, preaching the gospel is better than not preaching. Now, if a fireman offended his wife, and one day she was trapped in a building on fire, would he say, "My wife is offended, so I will not go in to save her"? Of course not. He will do whatever he takes to save her, even if she gets offended by his saving. Once, I had lunch with two colleagues. One was a Catholic, and I shared the gospel with him. Another is a non-believer. And as I shared the gospel halfway during lunch, my non-believer colleague, he stopped me. He said, "Hey, can you stop saying these things or not?" And I asked him, "Why? What's wrong?" And you know what he said? He said, "I just don't like talking about religious stuff. You're making me not enjoy my lunch." Then I apologized to him. And I explained to him the reason why I'm sharing. I said, "It's because I care about him. I don't want him to go to hell. Is that wrong?" And he said, "I just don't like it." Then I said, "Okay. Then I'll not talk about it anymore. And you can imagine the look on my Catholic friend's face. What happened during that lunch? Awkward. Awkward. But I didn't want to close the door, so I dropped him a WhatsApp after that, and I said, "Sorry if I spoiled your lunch. I just wanted to share something good that makes sense and have open discussion. No intention to force anything on you." And guess what his reply was? "It's okay, no worries. I was a bit worked up." See, I've apologized, he also apologized. And this one was in 2018, 7-8 years ago. And I still have the message. Today we keep in contact. But one day I will still try to share the gospel with him again. Because I care about this colleague of mine, he's a friend. So how shall we handle the fear of offending others when we preach? The application is this. We are to preach even if we may offend people, so we may save some. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says that by all possible means, I might save some. Amen. Let's go on to the third challenge of preaching the gospel. It's a fear of not getting results. When we preach and do not see results, we can think that we are not good at preaching. And then we feel discouraged. Let's take a look at Jesus' example. Even Jesus, he saw very little results in his hometown. In fact, at his first preaching in his hometown, he had zero results. The people chased him out and even wanted him to throw him out of the cliff. And note that the scripture reference in your outline is wrong. It is not Luke 10:29, it should be Luke 4:29. Please help me to make the correction. Luke 4:29. And then Jesus returned to his hometown to preach again. How was his preaching? Mark 6:2 says, "And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that was given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing?" Jesus' preaching amazed his hometown. He demonstrated wisdom and power. They didn't just say, "What are these miracles he's performing?" They said, "What are these remarkable miracles he's performing?" Jesus totally impressed them. He was not just a good preacher. He was also a very powerful one who performed miracles. Did his hometown believe him because of that? No. He was so good, but yet they still took offense against Jesus. And Jesus was amazed by their lack of faith. It is like, hey, I did everything so well, you all acknowledge it, but yet you don't believe me. It's mind-boggling. But not only his own hometown, Jesus' preaching impressed all the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, the scribes. Yet none believed. You know, what is wrong with our mindset? Our wrong mindset says that preaching is only for those who are good or gifted. I'm not called to preach. I'm not good at preaching. If I'm not getting results, I shouldn't preach. But Jesus was so good. Even his hearers say so. Yet Jesus didn't see much results. What does this mean? This means that even if you are good, it doesn't mean you will get results. Don't be so howling about you being good. Jesus showed us that the preaching of the gospel is not dependent on how good one is or whether one gets results. What is the correct mindset? The correct mindset is that the reason why we preach is not because we are good or we get good results. But the reason why we preach is because it is our mission. The gospel is our message. Preaching the gospel is our life's purpose that Jesus gave to us. Then what about the results? The results will come from the Lord in due time if we do not give up sowing. After Jesus ascended to heaven and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and Peter gave his first sermon, 3,000 were saved. It was his first sermon. But it was not because Peter was all great, but that he obeyed Jesus' commission to preach and God brought the harvest. Acts 2:41 says, the Lord added to them 3,000. The result came from the Lord. And later, a disciple named Stephen, and he preached to the whole Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin consists of 71 members, the scribes, elders, prominent members of the high priestly families and the high priest. Stephen preached. None of them believed. But it was through him that a terrible guy repented, committed his life to preach the gospel. Many were saved. Perhaps he made the most significant impact in the early churches. Who is he? The Apostle Paul. You see, when we look at Stephen's preaching, it didn't seem like he got any results. But God used his preaching later to bring Paul to repentance. Again, the result came from the Lord. And Mark 4:26-27 says, a man scatters seed on the ground day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. How did the seed grow? Don't know how. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. How does the seed grow? It was God who makes the seed grow. You know, sometimes I feel a bit discouraged. You know, the media team boys, Isaiah, Josiah, and Lucas there, they would know. They saw me preaching to drivers when I take taxi or Grab or now we got Tada. Every Sunday when we go to church, like today. So I preached to this guy today and I found to be of same age as me. So surprising. And I shared the gospel to him enthusiastically, but he didn't believe. But I think I helped him to move a few steps forward to believe in Jesus. You know, I think I preached about 20 drivers in 1 year. Yet, none of them say they want to believe. What will happen to the seed? God will cause the seed to grow. Maybe some of them will trust a lot later. I don't know. But I remember at least two persons who I preached to, they came to me after a while and they said, "Jackie, I'd just like to let you know that I believed in Jesus and now I'm attending another church." You know, on one hand, I feel disappointed that they didn't believe through me and be in BC. On the other hand, I rejoice because I played a part in their salvation. John 4:36, 37 says, "One sows and another reaps. The sower and reaper may be glad together." So if I preach the gospel to them, they didn't believe, but later they believed at another church, it is okay. And this I rejoice. So how do we handle the fear of not getting results? We are to preach even when we do not see results. Because preaching is our part. And the results is the Lord's part. So let's do our part. And let the Lord do His part. Amen. And let's move on to the fourth challenge. The fear of hindering people from believing if we say the wrong thing. Let's look at Jesus' example. You know, Jesus said many things that we might consider inappropriate. And as a result, some people did not believe. In Jesus' first preaching in his hometown in Luke 4:22, all spoke well of him. They were amazed by his gracious words that came out from his lips. It looks like Jesus had a good first step. But then his hometown began to doubt, saying, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" AKA, "Jesus, you are just a carpenter's son. You're just a carpenter. Impressive speech, but don't take you seriously." And how did Jesus respond? Jesus gave two examples, two of the most powerful prophets of God, Elijah and Elisha. Number one, Elijah. Jesus said that Elijah did not help any widows in Israel during the 3.5 years of the severe famine, but Elijah was sent to help only a widow in Sidon. She was a foreigner, not the Israelites. God did not send Elijah to the Israelites. And number two, Elisha. That Elisha did not heal any lepers in Israel, but he healed only a leper from Syria, a foreigner, not the Israelites. This means what? This means that the Israelites were not worthy to be helped by God through the two powerful prophets. So Jesus was implying that this hometown is not worthy to be helped by God since they don't accept Jesus. What was the response from the hometown? They were furious. Can you see that Jesus might have said something inappropriate here? Not only that the hometown not accept him at first, and then now the hometown got furious, putting oil in the fire. Did Jesus mess up? And Jesus' hometown was not the only instance. Another instance that Jesus may have messed up was the rich young man. The rich young man was very sincere and a very respectful man. First, he ran to Jesus. Second, he fell on his knees. Third, he called Jesus good teacher. Fourth, he asked Jesus, how can he inherit eternal life? If someone come to you asking, how do I inherit eternal life? This is like the best seeker. Bao jia. Sure, come in one. But Jesus, he gave a seemingly hard exchange that the rich young man is to give all his wealth and he will get eternal life. We wouldn't say this to anybody. And how did the man respond? He went away sad. And the reason? Because he had great wealth. You know, why don't Jesus just say 30%? Give 30%, you get eternal life. Okay, a bit more, but 50%. 50%. But Jesus went all the way, all his wealth. And note again, sorry, there's a typo in the reference in the outline, not Mark 4:22, it should be Mark 10:22. Help me to correct this. Mark 10:22. So did Jesus mess up here again? First with his hometown, then second with this rich young man. So this is our wrong mindset. That if we messed up, we will ruin people's soul. We are afraid that if we say something wrong, that people may no longer be open to believe in the gospel. First off, Jesus' two examples. Jesus never messed up. He is never wrong. He knows the hearts of men. He speaks the truth. And those who believe will be saved. His hometown didn't believe him. The rich young man didn't believe. And second, on the gospel, Jesus' gospel is the truth. Those who believed will be saved. But those who don't believe the gospel is not seen as truth. The gospel is seen as foolish. So 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And this picture you're seeing, it's a picture of Jesus standing at the door and knock, drawn by William Holman Hunt in 1850s. Anna saw this picture and she said, well, this, why you choose this picture? This picture is scary. And there's a reason for that. And Holman Hunt, when he drew this picture, he drew the door without a handle, so that the door can only be opened from the inside. It's a choice of a person to open the door for Jesus. It is his choice, his free will. And you see all these plants as growing, overgrown. That's how long some people have kept Jesus outside. And Jesus was there knocking. So God offers the free gift of eternal life. But it is a person's free will and choice whether to believe and accept it, or would they think that it is foolish and ridiculous and not important for them to make any decision. The correct mindset is that when we preach the gospel, Jesus promised to be with us and work with us. Mark 16:20 says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs and accompanied it. Familiar or not? Last week's sermon. Three things that the Lord did for them. The Lord worked with them. the Lord confirmed his word. Number three, the Lord accompanied with signs, healing, miracles, casting out demons. If we are preaching the gospel, the Lord will work with us. We shouldn't fear messing up the gospel because the gospel is simple. It is not complex doctrines. Anyone can learn to present the gospel. If we share the gospel, we also need to learn to share with gentleness and respect. So we shouldn't fear of messing up. We only share what we know. What we don't know, we can check with our cell groups. Then we return with an answer another time. But even if we really do mess up, God can still work. Because those who reject the gospel at first, they may believe later. Jesus' own mother and brothers, they believed. After Jesus ascended to heaven, they joined the disciples in the upper room to pray thereafter. So how do we handle the fear of messing up? The application is this. When I present the gospel, Jesus has promised to be with me and will work with me. The gospel is not complex. Anyone can learn and present. When we preach the gospel, Jesus will work with us. And finally, the fifth challenge of preaching the gospel is a fear of not knowing who is a man of peace to preach to. We are looking for the man of peace. As a result, we hesitate to initiate a spiritual conversation. And let's look at Jesus' example. He knew exactly who is a man of peace or who is not a man of peace. Yet he preached to them regardless. So even after Jesus, he was rejected the first time in his hometown, he still returned to preach there. He knew they already rejected. He knew who is a man of peace, who is not. But he preached anyway. And not even signs and wonders could cause them to believe. But this time, there was a few sick people believed and they were healed. You know, our wrong mindset is thinking, I do not know who is a man of peace to preach to. But what is a man of peace? What is this man of peace? The term man of peace is found in the NASB translation, okay, in the Luke chapter 10, 5 to 6. He says, and whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if it's not, it will return to you. The man of peace. We are to look for the man of peace to preach to. But the problem is, we do not know who is the man of peace. And therefore, we hesitate to preach to anybody. The correct mindset is this, is that when we initiate conversation first, then we will know who. Whether the person is a man of peace or not. You see, looking for a man of peace does not mean that we only preach after we know if he is a man of peace. Rather, looking for a man of peace means that God has prepared people. These people are open to the gospel. Go look for them. We preach to whoever is willing to listen. But if someone rejects the hearing, then we are not obligated to continue with that person. So in Mark 6:11 says, if any place will not welcome or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet. If the person is not a man of peace, don't let his rejection linger in us to stop us from preaching the gospel to other people. So how do we handle the fear of not knowing who is a man of peace? The application is that we are not guessing who is a man of peace before we preach. We initiate the conversation first. Then we will know whether the person is a man of peace. In fact, we preach God, the gospel to all. Whether a person is a man of peace or not, we preach the gospel to them. So let's wrap up with this mind map. There are five challenges that we face when we preach the gospel, and these are the five fears that cause us to slow down or stop preaching the gospel. The first fear is a fear of rejection. How are we to handle it? We have to preach also to those who reject the gospel because they also need to hear it. God desires that none should perish, all to receive eternal life. And second fear is the fear of offending others. How are we to handle it? We have to preach even though we may offend some, because it's better to preach and offend some than not preach and they all suffer in hell. The third fear is the fear of not getting results. How are we to handle it? We preach not because we get good, we are good or we get results. Because preaching is our mission. Preaching the gospel is our life's purpose. Preaching is my part. The result is God's part. And fourth is the fear of messing up. How are we to handle it? We are just preaching the simple gospel, not complex doctrines. When I preach, Jesus promised to be with me and work with me. I think this is a very important promise and assurance that we need to remind ourselves when we fear of messing up. And the fifth fear is a fear of not knowing who is a man of peace, who is open to the gospel. Remember, Jesus preached also to those who are not open. We need to initiate the conversation first, then we will know who is open. So this summarizes how we are to handle the five fears of preaching the gospel. After today's sermon, does it mean that we will no longer fear? Not totally. But at least the fear should reduce a bit. The goal is that today's sermon will help you to handle fear, not allow it to cripple you, and start preaching the gospel this week. Will you say amen? Under the application, the last part of the sermon outline, in your small groups, discuss the challenges and fears of sharing the gospel, how today's sermon can help you, and you can start preaching this week. And then Christmas is coming. We can leverage on this Christmas season to share the gospel. But first, we need to pray. We need to pray daily for ourselves and for non-believers. Remember, when Jesus started his ministry in Mark chapter 1, he had good success. He preached at Capernaum. He healed many sick people. He drove out many demons until late night. But very early the next morning, he got up when it's still dark and he prayed. And later, his disciples came looking for him and told him that everyone is looking for him. What was his response? He could have said, oh, they're looking for me. Okay, let's go. But he said, let us go to the next town that I may preach there also. Why didn't Jesus go to those people who are looking for him? Why go to the next towns? Already got people looking for him. And Jesus gave the reason saying, because for this purpose I have come forth. Jesus was very clear about his purpose. His purpose to preach, not just in one place, but at other places. His purpose came through his drawing near to God in prayer. Are we clear about our purpose? That's why we need to pray, so that we renew our life purpose to preach the gospel. We also pray and ask God for grace so that we may overcome the fear and to preach it. Then we pray for the non-believers or even to those who were believers, but they backslided. They stopped going to church. And I'm very thankful that at my workplace, I helped two backsliders to go back to church. And one of them is with us here today. He was very enthusiastic. He wanted to bring another of our colleagues to come. I tried to preach the gospel to him as well. But was expecting him to come. He's not here, but we said, never mind, we pray that he will come. So we pray for others. So can we have a name list of three names to pray? Okay, consider the four areas of influence that you have. Number one is your family and loved ones. Number two, your neighbors. Number three, your workplace or your school. Number four, your friends. And what to pray for them. First, pray against the work of Satan. We bind, we cast out the spirit of blindness, the deception and unbelief. Then second, we pray for open doors, open hearts, so that we have the opportunity to preach the gospel to them. So this prayer. Then next, we get to the preaching. How do we do it? We can initiate a conversation. I have a simple conversation starter that you can use in your outline. You're free to modify it. For example, start with a simple question. Hey, Christmas is coming. How do you celebrate Christmas? Can I ask this question or not? I never even ask the person that about Jesus, but Christmas. And doesn't matter whether they celebrate Christmas or not. Just get to know the person. Just talk. Have a conversation. And a taxi driver today, he tell me he don't celebrate Christmas. I said, oh. And he said, he don't even celebrate his birthday. Double awe. Then the second question you can ask, hey, do you know the significance of Christmas? And a person may say Santa Claus, okay? But doesn't matter what they say. Have a conversation, right? And tell him the answer. It's the birth of Jesus 2,025 years ago. But he existed from eternity. That's the difference of Jesus from any other religious character or leader. Then see where the conversation proceed. Initiate the conversation, then talk about it. Then the third question, do you know why Jesus is the gift to the world? Let him answer. Regardless of his answer, just tell him, because God loved the world, God loves you. He gave his only son, Jesus. You know, and then if it's possible, then you can say, let me share with you who is Jesus, or the good news. Then you can use a gospel bridge to share. You can either have the hard copy, or otherwise you can use a soft copy that's in our website. It is very easy to access from your phone, okay? Then you can share your testimony also. What testimony? The testimony of how you became a Christian and why you become a Christian. So I briefly told a taxi driver today that I was a Buddhist and I became a Christian. I wasn't serious at first, but I learned over the years that Christianity is true. And I explained to him why, briefly. Then you can also invite the person to our church Christmas service on the 21st December at Singapore Expo, or invite him to your cell group, NET Christmas party. So this year, Anna and I, we will have two Christmas parties at our home. One is for Isabeth's classmates. She is graduating from a kindergarten, so she has her classmates. And we take this opportunity to have a party for them. Hopefully through that, we are able to connect and make some friends, share the gospel, and see whether they are the men of peace or not. Then another is for our family friends on the 25th. So brothers and sisters, I hope today's sermon helped us to know how to handle the fears that we have. But you know, we talk about the fears of preaching the gospel, but there is a fear that we have not talked about. The correct fear that we need to have. That is the fear that people end up in hell. You know, for parents, if you have a kid, if your kid drops into a river, in a dangerous river, would you jump in and save your kid? is a dangerous river. I'm sure you would. You will put your life at risk for your child. Your child is like an extension of you. What is this? This is love. Prioritizing the kid over our own survival. There is fear. But love overcomes all fears. What does that make me if I save my kid? That I'm a very loving parent. Let me give you another scenario. What if there's a terrible guy who drops into the dangerous river? Would I go and put myself at risk to save that guy? Somebody that you don't like, somebody you hate. Some people say, holy shit. But if I hate the guy, but I still go and save and put myself at risk anyway, why would I want to do that? It is the compassion that hoping that a person does not suffer, even though he's a terrible guy. It's a compassion. And what would that make me if I do so? That I'm a very noble person. You know, brothers and sisters, when we preach the gospel, it demonstrates our love. It demonstrates our compassion, regardless of whether you love that person or not. If you don't like that person, you do so. It is out of your great compassion that you do so for him. It's a good thing. So like us, just to bow your heads and close your eyes. Just to give each one of us a minute to respond to the Lord. My first question to you is that will you preach the gospel? And the second question allow you to consider is whether can you lay aside your fears and say, I will preach anyway. I give you a minute to respond to the Lord. Got to close in prayer. I'd like to invite us to stand. And then for you who have responded to the Lord and say, Lord, I will preach the gospel. I'd like you to just raise your two hands. Father, we offer our hands to you. What we have, what we are, Lord, will you use it for your kingdom, for your glory. Help us in our fears that we may overcome. We will put aside every works of the devil, every deception, and we will go forth. We will resist and we put aside every fear of rejection, every fear of offending people, every fear that we will not get results, every fear that we may rest up. We lay aside all these fears before you. And Lord, we claim your promise that you say that when we preach, Lord, you will be with us. You will work with us. We claim that promise. Your promise is true. You never lie. So Lord, we thank you for your good promise. Enable us, Lord, to share your heartbeat, your love, and experience the joy of leading people to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.